On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Capitals go Heisenberg on the Blues, Michael Lotta gets his first NHL goal, plus we get ready for those pesky Penguins coming to town. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Capitals fans. This is What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening and downloading the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much, Aino.
I'm feeling good. For a few days there, the Washington Capitals were number one in the Metropolitan Division. They looked really good on Sunday, and here we are recording our show on Tuesday night, and the Penguins came back, and they took that number one spot again. So let's talk about this last week's games that the Capitals were in. Sunday night's game, I wrote it on Twitter. I was so proud of this team. I think they played the best game of the year so far. I even gave these Capitals a toast after that first period because they actually scored in the first period. They played a full game. I was ecstatic about this team on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday they did really, really well against, a very good St. Louis team. I mean, right now, St. Louis is 13-3-3, so they certainly are on a roll. But the Caps are doing well themselves. I thought they dominated St. Louis for most of the game. I don't think there's really ever a point where the Blues looked like they were really in that game. It looked like the Caps pretty much controlled the entire thing. And going to the Detroit game, I mean, the Caps had no business winning that game, but they somehow were able to pull that one out and pull out a win and you know, did a nice job in overtime. And, you know, they got the 4 points that they needed to keep them in the race with Pittsburgh. Right now, both Pittsburgh and Washington play 21 games. But the only reason Pittsburgh's 1 point up on the Caps is because they have one more win. Pittsburgh is 13-8, whereas the Capitals are 12-8-1. So they have Pittsburgh's at 26 points. The Caps have 25. But both of them at the moment are in control of the Metropolitan Division. The next team that's closest is the New York Rangers with 20 points. So they are, 2.5 games behind the Capitals, 3 games behind the Penguins. And then there's Carolina also at 20 points. So, you know, the Caps and Penguins seem to be running away with it. Not running away, that's a poor choice of words, but they're doing a better job in the division right now. But, you know, to be honest, I think there's, and this is something funny thing kind of going off topic, but in the past everyone sort of talked smack about the Southeast Division saying it was always really weak and that the team that won that sort of got a gift of being in a nice spot in the playoffs because they got the home ice advantage, technically speaking. The Atlantic was supposed to be the big, tough division, but all the Atlantic guys are in here, and the Metropolitan right now, point-wise, is the worst division in the NHL. I mean, Tampa Bay is currently leading the East. Shocking. But Tampa Bay is leading the East with 28 points. Boston is second with 27. You have Pittsburgh with 26. The Caps right now would be, tied for third with Toronto and Detroit in the Atlantic. And then in the Central and the Pacific, over in the West, I mean, let's see. Chicago and Minnesota both have 30 or 32 points in the Central and the Pacific. Anaheim, San Jose, and Phoenix are all over 30 points. So right now, even though Pittsburgh and Washington are leading their division, you know, they still need to do a lot better. But the Caps are doing well right now. They're on a roll. I think the fact that they're able to go out and play well against the Western Conference teams, they struggled a little bit this season with that since they played, most of their games against Western Conference teams. But they did really well against St. Louis, and they did, I guess, enough, you could say, against Detroit. And it looks like, you know, with Green out, this team is certainly playing better than I would have hoped.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Green is one of their big guys. I mean, he was one of the original young guns for the Washington Capitals, but he's out. He's got some sort of bruise somewhere, lower body. They're not really specifying what. He did return to practice today. Supposedly, he's going to be questionable against the game against the Penguins on Wednesday night. We'll see if he actually does play. But I've been very happy with this team this past week. I mean, really, there's no complaints for them. The only other complaint I really have about this team is that Jay Beagle's still in the press box. But hey, if you're winning games, it makes sense not to mess with it. So I'm not mad at Coach Oates for choosing to do that. But real quick for the Detroit game, we got to give a big congratulations to Mike Lotta. Mike Lotta got his first NHL goal, and with his goal that led to overtime, which then eventually went to the shootout. So Michael Lotta also, he's becoming an internet meme himself because of that face he made after that goal.
That's the thing's pretty awesome. I love that people have taken that. I know last year, what was it, the Matthew Parole celebrations, and now it's turned into Michael Lotta. And a little bit with Carl Alsner celebrations. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah.
as well. That Alzner, he's got, apparently it was him and Perreault last year, but Perreault was getting more of the credit and the attention for it. It looks like Alzner's sort of taken that over just a little bit. But yeah, congratulations to Michael Law. It's perfect timing for his first NHL goal. And if you're going to do it, why not do it in Detroit to tie the game in a game your team will eventually go on to win in the shootout? So that's certainly awesome for him. And to go into Jay Beagle, you mentioned earlier, I mean, he's sort of in a tough spot right now because the team is playing well enough that Oates is not going to want to make too many changes. I think Beagle's, and Fair, these guys are going to have to wait until either someone goes down, his team struggles a little bit, that Oates will decide to change things up. But I don't, you know, it's kind of hard to say where you're going to fit them in right now with this team playing well. I mean, you could, there's a couple guys that are struggling a little bit. If you go and you look at even Brooks Like and Troy Brower, they aren't necessarily putting up the points that you would like. The second line, I don't think, has been doing very well at all this season. You know, they've been okay, but they're not putting up the points you would like to see. I think the first line's done really well. Third line's done amazing, better than you would have expected. Fourth line's doing, you know, good enough. They're not really a point-producing line, but you don't really expect them to be too much, except for apparently in the third period in Detroit when you're down a goal. But other than that, you know, it's sort of hard for Beagle and for Fair right now, but I think, I guess it's what, it's Beagle versus Lotta right now, and it looks like Lotta's got a little bit more of the offense going his way, and I think that's why he currently is playing. I personally would like to see Lotta, Beagle, and either Wilson or Volpatti on a line. I just want to see how that would work. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would love to see that line too, and that hopefully we'll see it this season. But right now, the lines make sense. The lines are clicking, and the Capitals are winning games. So of course, you're not going to mess with that. And I completely get that and understand that. But yeah, this team is on a roll right now, and hopefully they can keep going. They got a few tests coming up, especially during the big rivalry night game that we'll talk about later in the show. But man, these guys are doing great. I couldn't be happier with the team. Real quick, you know, Dmitry Orlov, a guy who's been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. He's down in D.C. once again. Do you think that we're going to see him actually take the ice in a game this week?
I think it's tough to say right now because Oates seems to like having the left-handed stick with a right-handed stick, and they seem to like what they've gotten with Tyson Strachan, who was recalled from Hershey last Thursday to replace Green. So I think Orlov currently is there as an insurance policy in case someone goes down earlier in the day during, you know, practice, or someone goes down with an injury during warm-ups. Unfortunately, it's kind of silly, but it happens. So Orlov is there just in case you don't really want to go out there with five defensemen, or you're not really going to have time to recall somebody in time for the game. So, you know, I think it's going to be tough for Orlov right now, but I'd love to see him out there. I believe McPhee came out, what was it, last week, and was talking about Orlov, saying that he'll get his chance. You know, it'd be real nice to see him get his chance soon, just because I think Orlov brings more to this team offensively than a lot of the other guys they have out there. I think Oleksii, who started slowly, has actually picked his game up. I really like what I'm seeing from him lately. It's sort of hard to see who he would take over for. I mean, Orlov is, if I remember correctly, Orlov is a lefty. Am I correct with that?
I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at the other lefties they have on the team right now, it, you know, who is he going to replace? And they have a problem with John Erskine if he ever comes back. Who's he going to replace? I guess he could, I mean, Erskine could replace Strachan. Although Green will probably replace. If Green goes tomorrow night, I think Strachan is then sitting out. But it looks like, I mean, Carl Alzner is a lefty. He's not going to replace him. That's pretty obvious. Nate Schmidt is a lefty. I don't think you're going to see him getting replaced anytime soon. I actually think Schmidt has looked pretty good as of late. I think him and Green were starting to do really well together until Green went down, so we'll see if that goes well. And then the other lefty is Alexander Urbom. So I think it comes down to if they want to play Urbom or Orlov, if we want to see Dmitry actually get a game.
Who knows who they're going to move around? I mean, if Orlov gets a game, that's great. But like we said, everything's clicking. It really doesn't make any sense to mess with it right now. But real quick, before we quit talking about these games, I do want to bring this up. During Sunday's game against the Blues, Halak was playing. And, of course, we all remember back in the day, Halak pretty much, you know, stole that series for the Montreal Canadiens away from the Capitals in that Stanley Cup run. Because, I mean, if you remember, the Washington Capitals were being pegged to be the team that was going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I believe was it the Flyers that year that won the Eastern Conference? I'm almost positive it was, but on the actual trophy for the Eastern Conference Finals, it said that the champions were the Washington Capitals. So they already had that nameplate printed up and put onto the trophy before the Capitals, and they were taken out in the first round. But Adam Vingan had a great little one-liner after Halak got pulled after letting three goals go through in the first period. He just said, "Take that, 2010." And I really, I absolutely love that from Adam Vingan. He's got a great jokes if you follow him on Twitter. But, yeah, I thought that was hilarious because I remember sitting there in those 2010 games and just going, these guys are not going to choke. They're not going to be taken down by this goalie. And then they were. And it was very sad. But it was good to actually see Halak get pulled and show the Capitals could actually beat this guy.
It gave a couple of the guys, I guess, the opportunity to exercise a couple of demons there and being able to light up Halak. But I think in the end, you know, as nice as that moment may have been for them in that game for them, it doesn't matter unless you're able to go and beat him in the playoffs. And right now, I mean, it's a little bit harder. I mean, if you're going to beat him in the playoffs, you're going to beat him in the Stanley Cup Finals, which would be nice, let's be honest. You know, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to really get over something like that with, unless you go and you actually do it again in the playoffs. And I think right now, to get over 2010 and all the other sort of opportunities that have passed them by, they're going to have to go further in the playoffs and potentially play, you know, play in the Stanley Cup Finals and potentially win a Stanley Cup.
Hey, that's the goal. You got to win a Stanley Cup if you want to be taken as a true blue legendary team. So hopefully this team can do it. So I guess that's pretty much all we really got to talk about for last week's game. I mean, a lot of fun, great games to watch. If you caught them on TV or you were there live, I mean, these are the fun stuff. This is what being a hockey fan is all about. Let's go almost, you know, halfway around the world real quick and talk about Evgeny Kuznetsov, who... He had a run-in once again. He's had his problems in this KHL season with his shoulder, and he was playing at Eastern Standard Time around, you know, 7 or 8 a.m. Earlier on Tuesday this morning, and he had a collision in a game, and he didn't return to the game. He was taken off ice, so it looks like he may have re-injured his shoulder.
Yeah, what is this guy, Mike Green 2.0? I mean, he's made – well, wait, Green's a defenseman, so that doesn't really work, but the point still stands. That the guy, what is he, made out of glass? This is his third shoulder injury. I believe he missed something like, what is it on Russian Machine Never Breaks, something like 12 games earlier in the season because he had shoulder surgery. You know, I mean, it's going to be great to see when this guy comes over, but that's if he makes it over here, if he's going to be in one piece at that point. You know, it was a bad hit, but I think some people were saying, and I believe one of the guys from Russian Machine was pointing out that he believes a tractor actually rushed him back too soon. And that may have led to him getting injured again. So I think the Caps are going to have to be a little bit of the, kid gloves with this guy when he first comes over, just to make sure he's not going to fall apart when some big towering defenseman looks at him funny. I mean, he's got to go out there and play against guys like Zdeno Chara and Brooks Orpik in Pittsburgh and a lot of tough guys in the NHL. And if he's not prepared to take a hit because he's going to fall apart like made out of Legos, then the team's going to have a problem.
Yeah, they're going to have a big problem, but here's the thing I want to talk about with you. Now, we've brought this up on the show before. We brought up the fact that Grabowski, you know, we love him as a Capital, but he's only here for 1 year, and if he has a great year, people aren't going – he's not going to hit the free market, and people are going to sign him to the big money like he's hoping. And we talked about the fact that we think that the reason why GM didn't save Ribeiro and give him all the money and the reason why he only wants a one-year deal with Grabowski is because we're waiting for this guy, Kuznetsov, to come over and be that second line center that everybody wants him to be, and he was going to be the star. I mean, he's had amazing plays, amazing highlights in the KHL. But here's the thing about them is if this guy keeps getting injured the way he is in the KHL, can he even survive an NHL rink? Can he survive an NHL play? Is this guy really the superstar that everyone says he is?
Well, I think he is a superstar, or he's going to be the superstar that people are expecting. It's all a matter of if he can stay healthy. But you have, in the past, not even in the hockey, but I think in every sport, you have guys that are supposed to come out and be these superstars, and then there's injuries derail their career. And unfortunately, these things happen. But I do think there is the opportunity for this guy to come out and do really well. Clearly doesn't have the same amount of talent, but go and look at a guy like Eric Fair, who's had a lot of shoulder problems in the past and injury problems. But, you know, he's been able to turn things around, and it seems like he's healthy now. He's been playing really well. He played really well for the Caps last year. And I think if he was playing, he'd be playing really well for the team right now. But unfortunately, he's sort of the odd man out at the moment. But I think there's a great opportunity to bring him over at the end of this season or next season, depending on how far Tractor goes if they make the playoffs in the KHL. And there's a good chance for the Caps to really use this kid, because I really think that he's got a ton of talent. And he is someone that can certainly help you going forward. I mean, the talk when they lost, when they let Alexander Semin go and he went and signed with Carolina was, you know, who's going to replace him? A lot of talk was that was going to be Troy Brouwer, and that hasn't been the case. I like Brouwer on the team, but he has not how do I put this? He has not put forward the same production, at least offensively, that Semin did. Now, he may put forth more of the effort. That's certainly true. And he puts forward more physical play, you know, than Semin does. But, you know, Semin was a goal-scoring guy. When Ovechkin goes down or he's not on there, you also have to worry about Ovechkin. Now, the team, the Caps right now, a little bit are getting goal scoring. You're getting secondary scoring from, you know, the third line, the fourth line, very little bit. Second line, occasionally. You bring a guy like Kuznetsov over, put him on the second or third line, and that forces other teams to worry about him probably just as much as they're going to worry about Ovechkin, because Kuznetsov scores goals, and he sets other guys up very well. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a very good player in the NHL.
Let's hope so. I hope he's here. And let's just talk about this real quick. I mean, as crazy as this sounds, do you think that Kuznetsov would be an even better fit for this team just for the fact that he's a Russian guy? Because Ovi right now, very proud of the fact that he's a Russian guy and very proud of his Russian heritage, and he absolutely should be. Alex Semin and him were very tight. They were very close friends when they were both on the Capitals. And do you think that just having somebody else who kind of speaks the same language as him in the locker room would help Ovechkin? I mean, he doesn't need help being comfortable. You can tell he owns the locker room for the Capitals. His play has definitely improved since getting with Coach Oates. So I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but do you think just having that somebody else who speaks Russian, who's from Russia, do you think that would just make him even more comfortable in the locker room, even more than he already can be? Because, I mean, if you look at him now, he's throwing, you know, shaving cream pies in people's faces and giving everybody crazy eyes. So it's evident he's already having a good time. But do you think this would even enhance it a little bit more for Alex Ovechkin?
I mean, I'm sure Ovechkin will love having his countrymen over there, and I think you're going to see these guys hanging out a little bit during the Olympics, because I gotta believe if he's healthy, because Kuznetsov's going to play for Team Russia during the Winter Olympics. I think if anything, it really helps Kuznetsov. If you go and you look at sort of like what happened to Semyon Varlamov when he first came over, he was playing in Hershey, and he didn't really speak any English, and no one up there apparently spoke any Russian. He had a really hard time at first sort of understanding the culture, not only just Hershey, but the United States. You have a guy, you know, prospect.
I got to say, I think he still doesn't understand what's going on in the United
States. Well, yes, okay, he doesn't understand, you know, how to not be a douchebag, but the point I was trying to make is that Kuznetsov, when you come over, this is a guy you can build a team around potentially. You have him come over, and he can easily go and bunk with Ovechkin for a while to sort of give an easier opportunity to sort of get into the culture, get involved with the team, get involved sort of understanding the fans and the way things work. Because the guys are very, at least, you know, last time I've been to Kettler in a while, but the last time I was there, the players always very good about sort of coming out and talking to fans after practice and things like that, and signing autographs, taking pictures, blah, 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 blah. So, I think if anything, having more Russians on the team, Ovechkin or Orlov, if they ever decide to keep him around, is certainly going to help Kuznetsov in the end.
Yeah, so it's kind of flipped on what I was saying. You're actually saying it's going to help Kuznetsov, not Ovechkin, in the end. So I agree with that. I think making him a little bit more comfortable is even better, because didn't Ovi even go to Kuznetsov's wedding? So they already kind of have a history together.
You know, I feel like I heard that too, but I cannot honestly say one way or the other without having to look that up. But I think, you know, we saw similar things in the past where Ovechkin sort of taking guys under his wing, and I think he'll do the same here. We saw what Backstrom sort of did with Johansson. You know, you see guys from the same country like to stick together a little bit because they're more comfortable together. It's just a natural part of, I think, the way people are. So you'll see, you know, when Kuznetsov comes over, that Ovechkin is going to sort of keep him under his wing. But if he comes over during, you know, when they're making a run to the playoffs kind of a thing, I think it'll be a very exciting time for this kid to sort of, you know, he'll probably get a couple of practices, maybe a week or two of practices, probably not 2 weeks, maybe a week of practices under his belt, and then they might throw him out there and see how he does. I think it'll be interesting to see what the team decides to do at the trading deadline. I think a lot of that will tell you whether they decide to bring Kuznetsov over now or wait until next season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, anything else going on in Caps World we should talk about?
I think that's pretty much it.
All right, well, we're going to go head up 83. We're going to talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. But before we do that, let's make a pit stop in Baltimore. And here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
right, we're heading up 83. We're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals, the Washington Capitals farm teams. Coach Dan, what's going on in Hershey?
Since we last talked, Hershey went 2-1 with two wins over Charlotte, one of them being an 8-1 win, if I read that correctly, and their one loss being to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Why are they always losing to the freaking baby Pens? Reading, on the other hand, went 1-1 with a win over, and you'll like this, you're going to love this name, the Toledo Walleye.
What is that?
I don't have a freaking clue. Their logo looks like something out of The Simpsons. But yes, they had a win over the Toledo Walleye. I can't even say their Toledo correctly because I'm still stuck on the whole walleye part. I'm surprised their logo wasn't Wally. Stan Galeev update. In 11 games, he has 5 goals and 8 assists for a total of 13 points. He has a +3 with a shorthanded goal. So, you know, I'd love to see this guy go up to Hershey and actually get something done and be able to stick around and see how he can do over a longer period of time, because I'd really like to see this kid in the NHL at some point. I think he has the potential to do a lot to help this team, but he really has to put it together. Otherwise, I mean, he just may just end up being a career minor league player. That is all the interesting news up 83.
Well, let's talk about Galeev real quick. What is holding him back, do you think? What is making him not being able to make that jump out of the ECHL?
I mean, sometimes guys just can't transfer their game. When you bump ECHL, I mean, certainly going to be a slower game. The guys aren't nearly as talented. You join the AHL game, the game's a little faster. The players are a lot better. And then you jump up to the NHL game, and it's so quick. It's so fast. I mean, even going and watching a Caps game, even when those teams were bad, and then you go and you watch a Hershey game, you see the little things that are done incorrectly. You know, passes aren't quite as crisp. You see the goals are, goalies just aren't quite as good. So I haven't been to an ECHL game, but I have to imagine that it's obviously going to be another step down. So I question as to whether he can up his game to match that level, that speed, and the energy and talent that these guys have at the higher level. And that's only the AHL. And if he can't jump up to the AHL, there's no chance he's going to make it in the NHL.
Yeah, let's see what he can do. And before we go around the NHL, let's talk about this also real quick about the Reading Royals. As always, with a minor league team, they always got great jersey nights. They released their Washington Capitals tribute jersey, the mock-up for that, as well as their Hershey Bears tribute jerseys. And I got to say, pretty cool looking jerseys. They've mimicked the Winter Classic third jersey for the Capitals, and then they've mimicked the color scheme of the Hershey Bears, where it's a Reading Royals jersey, but it looks like that Hershey chocolate color. So I absolutely love what they're doing up there, and I think that's really cool that they're tributing not only their NHL team but their AHL team as well.
I saw the Caps one. I actually thought that was really cool. I haven't seen this Hershey one. You got to send me a link to that because it actually sounds really cool. The one problem that's always ends up being with these really cool replica jerseys, you're like, I want one, and then they end up selling for like $500. And you're just like, what? I mean, they're really cool, but hell no, I'm not paying $500 for one freaking jersey that I'll never wear. Although it would be kind of fun to wear it to a Caps game, to just like you walk around the arena and just see if anybody kind of looks at it and is like, oh, nice. Wait, that's not right. Like, wait, that says Reading, not Washington. I was like to see the confused fans looking at it and just being like, huh?
Especially the ones that don't really follow it that much, that just are kind of there for a hockey game, and they're like, why is that
you
say
got
Royals?
A bad jersey? Like, yours is weird looking. No kidding. It was a joke. Like, it's not a real jersey. Pay attention.
All right, well, that's pretty much it for Up 83. So let's talk about some NHL hockey. Let's go around the NHL. All right, let's go around the NHL. Let's talk about what's going on around the league. Coach Dan, what's going on in the NHL?
All right, let's start off with defenseman Adrian Acoin, a veteran of 18 NHL season, has announced his retirement. Acoin played with 7 different NHL teams during his career, those being Vancouver, Tampa Bay, the New York Islanders, Chicago, Calgary, Phoenix, and Columbus. He finished his career with 121 goals and 399 points. Former Washington Capital and current Carolina Hurricane Alexander Semin is out with a concussion. It's pretty rough for a talented but occasionally unmotivated winger. Edmonton has recalled Ilya Brizgalov. This is so much fun. He actually could end up being a great move for the Oilers if he can play like he did in Phoenix. Before everyone realized that he was kind of a weirdo and kind of crazy, Brizgalov actually was he had a hell of a thing going for him in Phoenix, and then he decided to go to the Flyers, and everything sort of crapped out there. But this could be a great move for the Oilers, who are a team who are in desperate need of a starting goaltender.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this news article, but the Oilers came out and said that they talked and talked and talked to a lot of his past employers and figured out whether he was worth the investment or not. And I guess the good outweighed the bad, because apparently they didn't want to go after him because of his reputation for being hard to work with. But apparently he did get some good reviews saying, hey, when he's on, and he's not that hard to work with. He's just a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, another thing about him being so much hard to work with is that he's just kind of a weirdo. He likes space and that stuff. That's not bad. Maybe he's just like a nerd hockey player, and we're all just not really – we're not used to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it could be fun to see. I think this is a great move for Edmonton in the end. If he ends up playing like he did in Phoenix, I think he could really do a lot of good things for them, and they could go on quite a run if they can get Neil Yakupov going. Because that team has a lot of talent. If they can put it together, they're going to be a dangerous team to watch in the West. Speaking of Western Conference teams, Chicago has reacquired Christopher Stieg late last week in a trade with Florida. The Panthers got back forward Jimmy Hayes and defenseman Dylan Olsen. For Stieg was actually traded to Florida from Chicago 2 years ago. Toronto's Nazem Kadri was suspended 3 games last Thursday for using his elbow/arm to interfere with Minnesota goalie Nicholas Backstrom's head. I got to watch the video, and I got to say it was a pretty avoidable hit. Kadri is crashing the net, redirected his shot from close to the boards, and then Brendan Shanahan claims that Kadri could have avoided the hit, especially to the head. And I actually have to agree with Shanahan here that you know, Kadri certainly did not have to go to the net like he did. He could have clearly avoided Backstrom, and then, you know, now it seems he's had to sit out 3 games for being a dummy. And finally, in my favorite bit of news from the past week, Tim Thomas has come out and said that he wants to play for Team USA at the Winter Olympics. Best of luck, Timmy, but it's not going to happen, dude. There are far too many goalies who are playing better or are just not crazy enough that'll be playing for the, I got to think, for USA in the Olympics. I think right now Jonathan Quick and Jimmy Howard are likely to be the top two guys for Team USA, depending on if both are healthy. I think right now Quick is out with, what is it, a groin injury? While Ryan Miller, Corey Schneider, Craig Anderson, and Ben Bishop will all battle to be the third man in. So I think there's, I honestly don't see Thomas beating out Quick or Howard, let alone Ryan Miller, Corey Schneider, Craig Anderson, and Ben Bishop. I think, Thomas, you're dreaming, buddy. I think if maybe you hadn't taken that year off and you're still playing in Boston, you're on top of your game, there's certainly a possibility, but I just don't see it happening for Thomas this year. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Now, a little bit, you know, I've been talking about it for the last couple weeks here, talking about that NHL Rivals show that airs the Tuesday night before Wednesday night rivalry. And, of course, this week is Capitals Penguins, and hopefully I'm going to edit this show before that comes on at 10:30, because I definitely want to catch that episode. But we got to talk about this real quick. The NHL is starting up their own version of 24/7 for these outdoor games, and it's called NHL Revealed. And It's an hour long. It's 7 episodes, and they're following around the 9 teams in the Stadium Series and in the Heritage Classic. And then they're going to follow around certain players in Sochi for the Olympics and show this NHL Revealed as the Olympics are going on. So I'm pretty ecstatic about that. And besides the NHL just doing their own version of 24/7, HBO 24/7 is coming back as well to cover the Winter Classic between Detroit and Toronto. So there'll be 4 episodes about those 2 teams, and then 7 episodes about the 9 other teams in the Stadium Series. So we were talking about this before we went on air, but I couldn't be happier with this. I love hockey. I love drama and reality TV when it's kind of done right, like a documentary. And I feel like these guys know what they're doing, because the same guy who did the first 24/7 is producing these NHL Rivals and NHL Revealed shows as well.
Yeah, I think the one I've been actually really excited to see, the one between Detroit and Toronto, to see the behind the scenes behind 2 of the most storied franchises in the NHL. I think that'll be really cool to see. I'm a little worried about the oversaturation of the whole thing being out there, but I think the fact that they're going to go to the Olympics, I actually think that's going to be kind of cool to see behind the scenes of these guys. You know, it's one thing to see them playing for their team, but playing for your country, I mean, that's got to be a whole different experience. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm a little nervous about them going around the USA players, because I really want the USA to win, and I'd rather these guys not be distracted. But you know, in the end, if it, you know, if ends up somehow making them better, then that'd be great. But I don't anticipate that being the case so much. But yeah, I think this is actually pretty cool, as long as they don't overdo it.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be a lot of fun to watch, and they do a good job, just like HBO 24/7 has done in the past. I mean, half the reason why I enjoyed watching the Winter Classic, the ones that the Capitals weren't in, was because of HBO 24/7. I mean, it was – they do
– Oh, I say you like the last one because Brice Galoff – was he the last one? And he's a crazy person.
Maybe.
It was HBO 24/7, was it with Rangers, I Flyers, that, something like that, and then it was HBO 24/7, Brice Galoff.
Pretty much that's how it happened. So yeah, so we'll hopefully they keep that going too for next year when the Capitals are back in it. But hey, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about the games that are coming up this week, Wednesday, November 20th, Wednesday night, rivalry night. The Penguins coming to D.C. against the Washington Capitals in the phone booth. It is an 8 p.m. start, and that is a nationally televised game on NBC Sports Network. Friday, November 22nd, the Canadiens come and join the Capitals in D.C. 7 o'clock start, and that is on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Saturday, November 23rd, the Capitals go up to Toronto, go up against the Maple Leafs, 7 p.m. start. That is on the NHL Network, as well as Comcast Sportsnet Plus. So let's talk a little bit about this Capitals-Penguins game coming up on Wednesday. Big rivalry. Of course, we know it very well, the Capitals and Penguins. It's always been Caps-Pens, Ovi versus Crosby. What does this game mean? Because pretty much these guys are playing for the number one spot again in the Metropolitan Division. Are the guys going to feel this much pressure, or is this just going to be like another game to these guys?
I think because it's the first one, and because it's for the top seed right now in the Metropolitan Division, that this is definitely going to be bigger than, say, you know, some third or fourth game kind of a thing. You know, if it was later in the season, I think it would be a much bigger game. But I think it's pretty exciting to see right now, especially now that these teams are back in the same division. It's going to be exciting. I think the Ovechkin-Crosby rivalry has sort of diminished a little bit. You know, with Crosby being injured, Ovechkin to some extent dropped. Dropped off the spotlight for a little while, but he's got definitely back where he was. Crosby's having a great year, so I think it'll be fun to see these two guys back on the ice together. We'll see tomorrow night if things are as crazy as we are expecting them to be.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this game. I love the fact that they highlight a rivalry every week, and this one's a big one, especially just for Caps fans, because we've met them in the Winter Classic, we've met them in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and of course we meet with them all the time in the regular season. But this is the first time, I believe, since '93, since they are our division rivals now. So very, very interesting game. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. Marc-Andre Fleury, I got to say, he's kind of come back. He wasn't doing well at the end of last year, but it looks like he's pulling his own weight once again during this regular season. So I definitely can see him being a factor tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the goalies always seem to steal the spotlight a little bit with this rivalry. You know, was it a couple of years ago where Varlamov had that ridiculous stop on Crosby where even Crosby thought, I mean, he had his arms going up ready to celebrate the goal, and he knocked that one down. And I mean, you had that crazy game during, what was it, Snowmageddon, where the Caps were down 4-1 and came back to win 5-4. The Winter Classic, like you stated. I mean, it's a great rivalry with a lot of good games. You know, you can go back before Ovechkin and Crosby and see a lot of crazy things between these two teams. Unfortunately, you know, it always seems to go Pittsburgh's way. But we'll see what happens in tomorrow night. To some extent, it's just another game. It's early in the season, so yes, they're battling for first place in the Metropolitan Division, but it doesn't mean necessarily that that's where they're going to end up at the end of the season. So while it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night, the season isn't riding on this one game. I think it'll be a nice test to see where this team is at. That being the Caps team, to see where they're at during the season.
Yeah, this is going to be a very big test for these guys. I'm excited. I think they're going to be able to do well. I think they're going to be able to take these Penguins down. But this is going to be a hard-fought game, and it's going to be hopefully everything we're expecting it to be. So great game, great rivalry, Caps-Penguins, Wednesday night, November 20th on NBC Sports Network. So I guess that's pretty much it for the show for What the Puck this week. You can always talk to us about hockey, about the Capitals, about puck, whatever you want to talk about. We are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash and Coach Dan's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I had a piece go out last week about Eric Fehr and Jay Beagle and why they may not be playing, and it if they are in Oates' doghouse or not. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network, including The Call, a Baltimore Ravens podcast. So plenty of information going on around Facebook. If you just heard that little beep in the background, of course, Facebook is on my computer as I'm recording this right now. You can also like What the Puck on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP podcast, 2 P's in that title. Like us over there and you'll get information about the Capitals, and whenever we have anything to say, it'll go up on our Facebook. The show also has a Twitter at WTP_podcast, so make sure you follow the show on Twitter as well. Now, there's plenty of ways to listen to this show. Thank you, no matter what and no matter how you're listening to it, but it doesn't matter if you have an Apple, an Android, or a desktop. There are plenty of ways to listen to What the Puck. We are on Facebook. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and you can also find old shows at whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. So plenty of different ways to listen to it. Make sure you're so social with the show. Spread the word about What the Puck. Let everybody know that you are a Caps fan and that they should be listening to What the Puck as well. So be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Let everybody know out there, even if you're on Google Plus, even though no one is. Tell people on Google Plus they should listen to What the Puck. That's pretty much it for What the Puck this week, so thank you so much. Next week, we got a Coach Dan special. I'm going to be on vacation, so have a good Thanksgiving, guys. Caps, go beat those Penguins tomorrow night, and let's go Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
All right, now we're heading up 83. We're going to talk
So we just break out into song and dance. Although you can't see the dance because it's a podcast.
If you want to start rapping or whatever, I'm not going to hold you back. That's fine.
Yeah, it was a terrible plan.
All right.
Well, since we lack talk, that was a great start. Great. First you did the singing, and then I just sucked. Outtakes.
Bloopers. Yeah.
Great time. Let's try that again.